It's time to feel the fire. It's time for the Dragon Cricket Podcast. Here's the Dragon's Roar once again, Marcus. Must be time for another podcast. Good to see you, mate.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, welcome you back to this Christmas season, the Christmas special podcast episode, just in time for the Boxing Day test.
That's right. Got to get one in before Boxing Day starts. It's an important part of the cricket liturgical calendar.
Yeah. I've been a bit busy this week with the other liturgical calendar. And cricket's been crashing into it at Barclay Street as well, which has been terrible. Well, let's not whinge this close to Christmas. It's a season to be jolly.
That's right. And the last time we hung out for any length of time, we were in a car on the way back from Adelaide.
We were. We chose not to commentate off the radio onto the podcast about the cricket whilst coming back. That was day four we were coming back.
Yes.
And that would have been it.
Yeah.
Oh, they got to day five a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, we're a bit tired on the way back.
Lost their mojo. No podcast from there.
That's right.
Would have been terrible.
I think, in hindsight, maybe next time let's drive over and fly back.
Fair enough.
It was a great test match. In terms of setting up the series, probably a better end to the test and certainly a lot more action, a lot more wickets in the last little bit, which is what you want in an Adelaide test match.
Closely placed teams, going down to the wire, 30 runs or so.
Yep.
And
I think that the series is sort of shaped up a little bit.
We probably missed the best part of the match, you'd have to say, because we went back to the Barossa early and got stuck in a winery.
Well, yeah, I think day four and day five was certainly, there are a lot of wickets, but I think we saw some good batting and good grinding test cricket, mate, which is what I like, as you know.
Very good.
The flash in the pan stuff. But it was an interesting test. Pujara obviously dominated with the bat, and the Australian bowlers probably dominated with the bat, certainly compared to the Indian bowlers.
Nathan Lyon left stranded in both innings and was the difference probably. It wasn't the difference in Adelaide. It could have been the difference if they'd only stuck
with
him.
That's right, yeah. So the Indian tail end certainly haven't cover themselves in glory this series so far. So it's been interesting to see that. I think the Australian bowling, obviously done really well with the ball, but they've done just as well with the bat, which has been fantastic. And then we didn't go across the Perth, but obviously the Indians and the Aussies did. I thought we'd end up in a great test.
Yep, closely placed teams, really. Yeah. Unfortunately, Ashwin couldn't make it.
That was probably
a bit of a loss.
I think.
Indians went for the four quicks on Perth. How many times have they done that? Three times in Test history with four quicks.
And why did they not bowl Jadeja?
Well, a lot of controversy in India, so let's not add to that. Oh, yeah, a whole lot. Oh, about selections,
Right.
Oh, there. It's all over the world, mate, about why they didn't select him.
I checked out a lot of Indian cricket podcasts.
Apparently he had an injection. He hadn't bowled for a long time. Right. Yeah, they have actually took five for last time they played in Perth. India massacred, but Yadav took five and they went with four quicks because, hey, you don't often get the opportunity when you're India to do that.
And he and the big fella had a bit of a verbal.
I don't think they're friends. I don't think they're friends.
Like, it was one of the weirder experiences I've had around sports was listening to SEN.
Oh, yeah.
Getting someone on to interpret the Hindi.
Oh, really? That's fantastic. That's very impressive for SEN.
I know, that's what I was saying. I mean, SEN's a different beast now with Gerard Whateley and different people around, a lot more thinking commentary going on these days. But it was a bit of an odd moment. And I suppose it kind of set up the whole test match. One of the things, big sort of topics of discussion going into the matches or the series was how the Australians would go post a whole sandpaper gate incident. You and I spoke about that a fair bit at the kind of the pre-Adelaide test sort of podcast. And Clark and Warne sort of coming out having a go at the guys being going for likeable rather than respected. But you've got to say that there was someone acting a bit crazy.
Well, Tim Payne went from uber nice guy, beta male, nicest Australian captain of all time, shaking hands to a few sledges thrown in there at Perth in response to Kohli.
I think that's probably in response to. Kohli was certainly came across as the crazier of the two.
Well, he's always been the crazier of the two. Yeah. Kohli's been Kohli. He's not changing a little bit. It's Australian cricket that's changing here, there and everywhere, and has been the major concern. But, it does expose some of Kohli's on-field behaviour, the over-celebrating, the constant chit-chat banter, other things like that.
And he went chest to chest.
There was a shoulder rub.
Echoing the kind of Warner stuff in the last, you know, probably two series ago, I think, against India. When Warner went back at Kohli as about as hard as Kohli went, that's probably the difference. It was like we were absorbing a lot more than we ever used to.
Did they touch? Was it all right? Since Smith and Rabada in South Africa, it's all like a bit of a dance out there, you know. Everyone's moving around, boogie boogie, but no touch. It's like a Baptist school dance.
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of boogie, but that's the 1 meter rule, mate. That's the oof. It's like driving near cyclists. Anyway,
breaking the footloose here, half of the podcast. So look, great test.
What did you think about Payne's? You know, Ash Widener came on about the whole Payne saying to one of the other Indians that he's a great captain, great batsman, but surely you can't respect him as a bloke. Which is
Ash's take? I missed that.
That he was liking Tim Payne more and more.
He really wasn't
liking Kohli.
Yeah.
Jared Kimber had the best one of, like, I love that. You can get away with all sorts of things in Australia as long as you say, oh, he's a good bloke, though. Domestic violence, axe murderer, you know, serial killer, quite often. But he was a good bloke, you know. Right. We don't understand it. What's happened? And so I love Jared Kimber on the sole arbiter of what a good bloke is, Virat Kohli is not one.
Yeah, that's right. I thought Payne had a great test match in Perth. I thought his captaincy was...
Played well.
Great. I mean, keeping...
Well, they won. They won.
But just breaking down his performance as well, because obviously he was picked out of the blue, and then all of a sudden, three test matches in, he's suddenly the captain of Australia, when people, I think he probably would have at some point been thinking, well, I'm not going to play for Australia again, you know, I'll just play some state cricket. Then all of a sudden he came. So I thought he's keeping better and better and better. Batted all right too. At different times, with batting with... I think he batted well with head at one point, and he batted with the tail for a while as well, particularly in that what turned out to be crucial sort of runs, the last sort of 100 or so Australia made were really done with the tail. So, yeah, so well done to Payne. It's been, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the series sort of plays out, so the Payne versus Kohli thing. What about some of the grassed or not grassed touches? So the last wicket...
Still impossible to tell, mate. Go to the third umpire. Who's going to know?
Yeah, and they all...
It's all for television,
they
mate.
They all look like, you know, they hit the grass... And when they don't. But it seemed like it was lots of celebration and no real reflection at all on whether or not that catch in Adelaide was grassed or not.
Oh, the last one to win the test match for India with 30 runs to go.
Kohli was getting pretty nervy there.
He was.
There was a partnership sort of brewing away there, and that certainly looked more dodgy to me than the one that Kohli got all upset about when he went out in the first innings. Was it first innings?
I thought they were both out. Not a problem with either of them.
Sure.
That's done and dusted, really. It's all these things are just for, you know, Virat's emotional outbursts and the television commentators to celebrate.
Yeah.
We're never going to tell with this technology ever. When has there ever been a grass catch that you could tell from the DRS? Just, it's impossible.
Who was I with? I'm trying to remember who I was with watching it. Who was convinced that it had bounced and that he was going to be given not out, he was going to get overturned. I said, no way, mate. He's knuckled. He showed us.
I love it. Yeah, well, exactly. I love that. You still want that element in cricket, yeah. I think. A bit of a disagreement. Something that's a bit fuzzy. I'm not really sure if I caught it or not. No one else is.
But it's Kohli, so you get it.
But I'm going to claim it because the bloke's on a lot and we're in strife if we don't. The test match is at stake. Of course it's out. And who's going to overturn it? And, of course, it's always the one of being called a cheat, and I think we still need to keep some room in the game for these little blow-ups because what's cricket without it?
It's going to be fun. And, look, we do have the dominant batsman playing for Australia, averaging 70 for the series.
Nathan Lyon. Left stranded again in the first innings at Perth.
We need to put him in as a night watchman every innings, I think.
His confidence is up, mate. Whatever you want to say about the Australian cricket team and where it goes, mate. He's the heart and soul at the moment.
Taking a lot of wickets too and bowling really well. I remember the time we started, people used to ask a question about Nathan Lyon about whether he could actually bowl.
Oh, yeah,
straight to victory, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Take a few wickets in the middle of a day.
Is he good enough to be in there?
Is the other guys that needed to... Well, he's always good enough to be in there, but whether...
Oh, just. I mean, we've said that about every off-spinner who's ever played for Australia. Yeah, sure. Is he good enough to be in there?
But is he actually going to come out on a day four or day five pitch and actually take the fourth or fifth to win the match? And I remember, I think it was in Adelaide when he did that.
Yeah.
A few years ago. And look, he just does it match after match. So that was standing out. So look, really interesting cricket series, I think we thought it was going to be. You know, Kohli batting beautifully like he did in Perth. Hopefully he can do that again in Melbourne. The Australian bowlers doing fantastically well. The Indian bowlers, I think, have been better than I anticipated as well. Yeah, looking forward to the Melbourne test.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's have a chat about Bathurst, the Dragons.
All right, it's Marcus Kerner here. I'm standing in the bowels of the Dragons Heritage Grandstand here at Maribyrnong Reserve, the old Curzon Speedway. I'm Renee Laws next to me here. G'day, Renee. How are you going? Speak to the Dragon Cricket Podcast. You're the daughter of a gun, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How does it feel being a law and hanging at the Berkeley Street United Cricket Club for Christmas?
Fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Renee. Have you? I'm sitting here next to Cody Jones, club legend. I throw that term around a little bit too liberally, some have said. So
very loosely.
Yeah, anyway, legend ain't what it used to be, but Cody is the current head of the social committee. Is there even a committee? You're just the dictator.
I'm the dictator, yeah, you can say that. Yep.
The benevolent dictator of the Berkeley Street Social Committee.
True.
Okay, so now, Cody, we're just trying to get the lowdown on what happened in the twos a few games ago when records were set.
Records were set.
Lowest score ever in 93 years of Berkeley Street history, I do believe.
Yes, I umpired the whole innings.
Okay, give us a blow-by-blow of the twos. That moment, that day.
From what I recall, a couple of very loose shots. The wicket was
a couple.
The wicket was rather tacky at one end. It would hit on a good length and take a divot, and the divot would fly up and the ball would fly in an alternate direction to what it usually would. But
some of those alternate directions would have been away from the stumps or away from the bat or something.
Well, in saying that, for probably 8 of the wickets, you couldn't blame the actual wicket itself.
So the wicket was dreadful. They've all come back saying it was the worst wicket ever. But that had nothing to do with being bowled out for 10.
Not at all. It's just loose shots, playing around straight balls, nicking off the slips. You really couldn't blame the wicket at all, unfortunately. It was just a lot of... it's a revolving door as such.
Jeez. Revolving door. Okay, very good.
I think the guy who took most of the wickets was 7 for 4 or something stupid like that.
Okay, and was he good?
No.
What was he bowling, Cody, for his 7 for 4?
Oh, right arm
shit,
straight up and down.
Okay.
On a good length, and he's either nicking him off or he was hitting stumps.
Very good. Well, it's good to be talking to you here tonight. It's one of your events, the Berkeley Street Christmas party.
Yes,
it's
been good.
We've got Cold Chisel on in the background, to the...
Not by choice.
The dulcet tones. Now, you also had a career highlight the other day here at Maribyrnong Reserve, I believe.
Yes, a nice little lofted slog with the wind. Managed to sail the fence.
Okay,
first and only time, I think.
Haven't hit many sixes in your time. No. Now, you're known around the club as the Golden Bear. Because you put a Berkeley Street gold cap on and really you'd rather be playing golf.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. Yeah. And you're good at golf.
Oh, I'm okay.
As opposed to cricket.
In comparison, it's chalk and cheese. Let's be honest.
That's all right. So you're pretty good at hitting the ball off a tee.
Oh, yep.
But when it's moving, it's had a few more issues.
No, I'm susceptible to a good straight one.
So what happened? Talk us through it. You got onto one.
The ball before, I logged a block between the bowler and mid-off and thought, all right, the next one I might just swing at. Swung and connected.
Fantastic. Fantastic. 6 runs, Cody Jones. You've always had a great swing. What's been great about that is as the wickets fall over is that the swing continues and the bat ends up under the arm and you seamlessly take the walk. It's all part of the one shot. You know, the big swing, bat under the arm, walking off. It's the most graceful way of missing the ball.
As Lace,
being bowled.
Lace said a few weeks ago, good cover drive that just never connects.
It's a beautiful thing to watch. I'm sad I wasn't here to see it, but it's great that we can broadcast this to the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Jones, 6 runs. It's been a great first half of the season here. Merry Christmas. Season's greetings.
Thank
from
you.
The Golden Bear.
What's been going on down at
Maribyrnong
Reserve,
mate? Yeah, let's do it, mate. Well, it's all been happening at Christmas. It's pretty dark down Saturday, I've got to say, mate. It's a big week for me, the Christmas week.
Get the pastor's rule enacted?
No, mate. Well, this is it. We did talk to Adam Hintz, the chaplain of the Victorian team at the Adelaide Test match, about the famous park cricket pastor's rule, where you could opt out because you've got a wedding the next week. I was really looking for one this week with the association that will remain nameless, fixturing games on December the 22nd, just 3 days before Christmas.
The 23rd, someone's told me that they were playing yesterday.
Oh, there you go.
The Druids had a match yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Goodness me. Well, I don't mind if you're playing serious cricket. For those who have to play at higher levels, maybe.
Are they
doing Big Bash Christmas Day this year?
No.
Or next, maybe. I think it's in the cards. But anyway, the point is that it's difficult
Difficult.
Yeah, and so, yes, I'm talking to my good wife. Well, no, I'm not, actually. You're doing what? These are days. I mean, half the team is already on a plane. Let's say the weekend falls with a couple of days to Christmas. No one's going back to work. Half the team's got on planes and are overseas, catching up with family in other parts of the world. You've got all those blokes that haven't, who are trying to get the house ready at home, cleaned up for the big Christmas festivities. No.
Preparing the sermon.
You're going out. Exactly. Yeah, for midnight mass and all.
I had an assignment due, which is, I mean, pretty harsh, 23rd of December, to have a 3,000-word essay due. Is a bit harsh,
outrageous. So, look, I wasn't very happy about it. Times have changed, I think, that we're still playing cricket here. I mean, I looked at the team lineup. I was
particularly late.
I was the only Protestant. So it's a bit different from the old Berkeley Street Uniting Churches Association days, where Christmas was Christmas. Times have changed. The only other Christian was Jason Tran, Vietnamese Catholic, obviously. The rest are Sri Lankan Buddhists that we're paying to play, and little Hindu students have finished year 12 and are back in town. So, you know, happy holidays. But not a very Merry Christmas for me.
Oh, okay. Putting that aside, how did you go? Did you make some runs?
No. It was raining. It was raining in. So, you know, there was one of those tragic park cricket days where you're feeling pretty dark about being there. Your wife absolutely hates you. You're going to be there. You're making up the numbers. You're going, why am I playing 3 days before Christmas? It did rain the night before, and so the run-ups were shot.
So a Christmas miracle?
Well, you know, you're sitting there, the sun was out, and you're thinking, they're going to wait around for hours here. You know, when it rained before, the pitch is no good, but, oh, the sun's out, we could wait around for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. Yeah, so I prayed, and so I did retreat to the back of the grandstand, actually.
I did see that
and,
on Facebook.
Yeah, and had a little ponder of all things cricket. I was also a bit depressed about Steve Smith's commercial, got to say.
Yeah,
well, the commercialisation of Christmas. I mean, if you want to get me ranting about stuff, you know, it's all about ads and, you know, as if Christmas isn't commercialised enough, we're going to have the redemption of Steve Smith via Vodafone commercial. I was watching The Big Bash. Did you see this one?
Yeah.
And he's out there and he's... come on, mate. It was terrible. It was horrible. I was thinking he might have put a Santa thing on him and commercialised cricket forever. I mean, it was great that he's running some clinics with the kids, but some of us do that for free.
True.
All the time, and just to have Gutsy as calling come up at the end, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong, he does face 150-kilometre-an-hour fast bowlers, and he will cop a lot of crap now for all time. If that's what he means, I think, great, let him get back, or make some runs, get back in the team, and actually cop a series with the Barmy Army in England just trying to mentally destroy him for a season, and then do the ad. Gutsy called, and I responded.
Yeah,
it's a little bit early for, and I think dangerous, I think, to have redemption by Vodafone commercial at Christmas.
Yeah, I had a completely different take on it.
Okay.
Which is, you know, so I thought, I mean, the fact it's a Vodafone ad or whatever, I don't you know, it could have been any company, really. Vodafone had nothing to do with the ad, really. So in that sense, I agree with you, it was a redemption-style thing. But I thought it was actually him being a bit vulnerable about how he was feeling and what a tough year it had been and what it means to try and come back and piece your life together. And I reckon from a, you know, the last time we saw him was the press conference, and what having a bit of a, you know, probably could have not been an ad, it could have been more of an interview.
Or maybe.
Yeah.
So the last time we saw him...
He has personally lost $8 million. You know, someone
Your Gutsy's calling, mate. I mean, geez.
Do you think he had anything to do with Gutsy's calling, mate? Or was that the Vodafone PR machine?
Yeah, well, that was my concern. So you're going with that line and say, OK, we'll go with that line. I mean, Gutsy's calling is me trying to tell my wife that I'm showing up to play cricket for Barclay Street 2 days before Christmas. That's Gutsy's calling.
Yeah.
I'm claiming it, damn it. I want a Vodafone ad. Or I could think of numerous stories of Christmas miracles of just blokes who are struggling with all sorts of issues in life,
yeah,
who show up and hang out on a Saturday. Not some bloke who's been done for cheating, who's lost lots of millions, but's actually trying to make it back really quickly with ads like this. I think that's a little bit dangerous, to be honest. Yeah. For his soul as much as anything, damn it. I'll claim it. So the last press conference, we did see him in tears, and this is the first word back. I mean, the press conference, he only took two questions. It was a highly controlled media environment. Gutsy is calling is actually still answering a bunch of the unanswered questions, I think, about the culture and what actually went on there, which I still don't know. I'd love to know if Cricket Australia are going to have a Vodafone ad for David Warner. You know, is he getting the one next or something or
so
coming?
So you think Cricket Australia had control of this ad?
I think there was two things that went on here, and I think it's interesting that Steve Smith's redemption story is happening so quickly. Ash Whedon was on a Facebook saying it's happened just after Tim Payne's actually won a test and, you know, is on the way back up, and he's going, oh, hello.
I did see that.
I just think it's too early for his soul, to be honest.
Sure.
And Gutsy's calling. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you certainly went a lot deeper with the ad than I did, which is not unusual. Marcus does.
As someone who's done a lot of cricket clinics with kids.
I get that.
For not a lot of money. We've had pay disputes, we've had the cheating, we've had those guys at the forefront of it. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get out of bed a couple of days before Christmas and get down to actually just do grassroots cricket. And so that's the sort of Gutsy that I think we need to think about and where real redemption comes from, actually. And damn it, I can preach that at Christmas. It's not about Santa Claus and multi-million dollar commercial things. The revolution will not be televised, Chris. It happens in a major in frickin' Bethlehem where the shepherds and kings play a park cricket match the day after Christmas. That's the first Boxing Day.
Awesome.
That's the real cricket. That's the real redemption. That's the real Gutsy. We shouldn't be lining up playing for Barclay Street 2 days before Christmas. We should be fit and limber for Christmas Day when we're playing with our kids and our grandmas and grandpas. And that's the sort of Gutsy is calling for me.
Cool.
Marcus's Christmas sermon.
getting in a day early, maybe.
Oh, dear.
So I'm here with Danny Lally. I'm at the Barclay Street Christmas party, and we've just talked to Cody Jones, who was umpiring the infamous game.
10 runs.
Record breaking. Oh, we're recording
Danny,
here.
You've got to fix the belt.
Oh, good. Amanda can do that.
We'll fix.
Danny, you're the expert.
All right.
Okay.
So Danny. So back to the interview here. So, Danny, Cody was the umpire at the other end. He's given us his version of events. Gone down in history as the captain. Not the worst captain, but the captain who was captain the day we scored the lowest total ever in 93 years of local park cricket.
There you go.
How does it feel to be the captain of the lowest scoring Barclay Street team ever?
Not good. Is that just an obvious answer? But, you know, I would go when after the game happened and Danny, can I talk to you? And I said, can you just please give me 10? Yeah. And that's a nice way of putting it.
Right.
Go away.
give me 10 minutes, not 10 runs.
That would have been
as many
10,
minutes as right. Okay, right, okay. So you weren't a happy man.
Wasn't a happy man.
So what happened? Give us the ball by ball breakdown. It shouldn't take long.
The ten was. It was a wet wicket, but...
Okay. Cody did say
how we played. Debatable how we played, but at the same point, you've got guys going out there, Keir Parikh,
naming names, people.
Yeah, the new boys that come into the team. And I just said, I'll just ask for a little bit of respect for the bowlers.
Yes.
You know, if the bowler's bowling a good ball, like I coached under 13s, if it's a good ball, it's called respect.
Yeah,
it's a bad ball, hard as you can on the ground. But you know what?
So you've got the experience. You're giving them the cricket wisdom.
If you hit the ball on the ground,
a man of your age's experience.
If you hit the ball on the ground.
And did they heed that word?
Not one. So I batted eight.
Yeah, so.
And
so,
I'm only about four.
Right.
Because we have no umpires and no scorers. Yeah, so I'm batting eight, and I'm the last man's tucker. You know?
So that was the hard-hitting question. I was going, like, what are you doing batting at eight when your team's...
Because we don't have a scorer, we don't have any bats, we don't have any
your team's
umpires.
What, six for whatever they were at that
six
point.
Six four.
You didn't think of coming in just a little, putting yourself up the order.
I was out there umpiring too.
Right, okay. Yeah. So this is a bit of a problem in park cricket when, you need to get enough blokes
and
who
if
can
if Cody's
umpire
umpiring,
and score.
Yeah, if Cody's umpiring, I'm scoring. Because
right.
no one knows how to score. So
okay, yeah, you need blokes that can count. That does help.
And literate. Make sure the scorebook. Well, if you make 10, it doesn't really matter. If the scorebook doesn't add up, does it?
No, that's true. You do the math on that one.
Yeah, well.
Not that hard.
Amanda goes, does the scorebook add up? I said, doesn't matter. We're out for 10.
Okay, now, Cody said you might have played a bit of a dodgy shot. You've been famous at Barclay Street for the Danny Lally dab.
The pink bat.
I'm not sure how many runs you've scored in front of the wicket in the last decade or two, but you've been famous for just being able to glide them behind square, to say the least.
So seven slips.
Off in the field that's set for you.
I think that was Merlinston Hadfield. Seven slips down here.
That's your record.
And they put it... Seven slips, so I went straight through it.
So,
I said, you think you're just going to stop me, yeah? So you ready?
And so Peter Hanscom's techniques have come under a lot of criticism in the Australian team just at the moment, and he's been out sort of, attempting this shot. What's he doing wrong, mate? What's he doing wrong?
Who?
Peter...
Is he still playing test cricket? Come on. Get out of here.
There you go. I think he needs to come down and learn the dab. But what happened? Cody said in the 10, you went the dab and it went wrong.
I did. It did.
What happened, mate?
I did. Well, I thought, I hit the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't even looking at the ball, but I just hit the ball, as I do with the gay dab. And I was off and running. Yep. Straight to first slip.
Best late cut you've ever played, straight to first slip.
Straight to first slip, yep.
There you go, the Danny Lally dab.
Sometimes your ability outweighs your ambition, yeah? Is that what they say?
Sometimes it outweighs, sometimes it underweighs.
Underweighs. Your ability's got nothing to do with ambition.
Oh, dear. You're thinking, this is good. This is going to take the team right into the teens.
Yes.
We're going to get past...
11.
So what were extras, mate? What were extras? Did
no
they
extras.
Bowl the whites?
No, they're all nothing.
Off the bat.
No, yep.
Yeah.
It was just it was one of those days, you know, when you're playing cricket.
So what did you say to the team at the end of the innings, mate?
So next week we'll come down and play, yeah? Next game?
Yep.
And next one is respect. So
respect, self-respect.
Self-respect for yourself, self-respect for the bowlers, self-respect for, like, me, in the sense that I say I coach an under-13s kids, and I teach them good ball, respect. Bad ball, hard as you can on the ground. You can never get out. You just have some respect for the game of cricket.
Okay.
And that is not what's happening.
Thought there was not enough respect,
no respect.
That day.
No,
I love the just give me 10. Not 10 runs, 10 minutes.
There you go.
Good. Well,
just remember, in the end, it's a game, yeah?
It is.
So we're playing park cricket.
It is.
It's an odyssey.
It is an odyssey.
And...
It's not a very long one bowled out for 10.
I don't like to remember for something like that.
It's barely a walk in the park,
I've
mate.
I've got one better. When I played under 14s at Footscray United,
we bowled out
Footscray A&E for 7.
Oh, my goodness. You've played in a lower scoring game.
I got 5 for none and 2 for none.
Yeah.
We bowled them out for 7 and we bowled them out for 14 in the second innings.
This is karma in cricket, mate. How old were you then?
Under 14, so I was about 12.
Okay. And
I
so
got
that's
7 for none in the game.
That's a substantial amount of years ago now.
Oh, that's only, like, what was I, 12? So 38 years ago. That's not too long.
Cricket has a way of coming back to haunt you, though, you know. Right, yeah. So you get one of them young, and then just when you're old, and, you know.
So you're karma, you're right.
Get another one on the other
karma
side of it.
Chameleon, don't? Yeah. Karma, get you, Danny.
That is Danny Lally singing us out with Karma. Karma Chameleon, I think.
Yes.
At the Barclay Street United Christmas party.
And
thank
remember,
you.
It's just a
the
game.
Captain of the lowest scoring team ever in 93 years of local park cricket.
I'm going down in history.
And look, we've got another test match, obviously. This.
We do.
In Melbourne.
We do. Yes.
So I can announce here that Marcus and I are going to be doing a little bit of broadcasting from my sofa.
Because in the car, day one in the car on the way to the Adelaide Test was such a triumph. It was a broadcasting triumph, mate.
Well, I won't be driving at 110 kilometres on back road Adelaide at this point.
When the truck nearly blows you off the road at the same time that Mitchell Stark is coming in full tilt for the opening over. That's radio gold, mate.
I kept it together too with my... I don't think I said, oh my goodness, before in my life.
It was fantastic.
I was listening to it again the other day.
Oh dear, oh my goodness. As the stones hit the car windshield and we veer off the dirt road, fantastic.
So there won't be any of that.
What are we going to do? Just sit on your couch with a beer and commentate off the TV?
Yeah. Sounds good. So we might do a little bit of Facebook living, try to get a little bit of interaction going with other people who are sitting at on their sofas at home watching test match.
Yeah, well, this is good. So what do you think? Who's going to be in the team for Boxing Day, mate?
Well, I just heard, I think Mitch Marsh is coming into the side.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Some things were destined, mate. Like,
so we didn't talk about Hanscom.
Like Steve Smith's commercial and Mitch Marsh coming back by Boxing Day.
We didn't talk about Hanscom. You and I are pretty scathing of his batting in Adelaide.
Well, Danny Lally. I went to Danny Lally on the interview the other day.
The Barclay Street dab.
I know. All he said was, who? I know, scathing.
Never heard of it.
Scathing from Danny Lally, who played a shocking one to go out in the infamous Barclay Street second 11 being rolled for 10. I thought it was a bit rich, Danny Lally, having just played a Hanscom special as captain, batting number 8.
Wow, so he kind of buried, he really put himself in the danger zone there captain.
You know, it was one of those who's umpiring, who's scoring, where should I bat in the order? Captaincy decisions that...
It says the whole innings was over in half an hour, was it? I mean, 10?
He was going to go up the order when things looked dire, but that happened rather quickly. The quickest he could get the pads on was coming in at number 8. Oh, dear. The great dabber of Barclay Street, says no go for Hanscom. It's not in him. The technique's not there. I thought Dean Jones had a fantastic article out during the week, just giving him a bit of a blurb. I actually sent it to my juniors just because it's a real mix of technique and mental, and it's a whole mix of things, you know. And so Hanscom, he's saying, look, if you back your technique to back play at this level, then you just got to do it.
Well, yeah, and there was a couple of commentators, I think, saying something similar. He's a bit lost in his head at the moment and all the feedback he's been getting, that he's not actually playing the ball. He's not seeing the ball and playing the ball. Which you can your technique going. I think it was maybe Barry, Darren Berry was talking about this the other day. Your technique, you have to make your mind up before the guy bowls. You can't. Well, the ball's coming out.
Not at this level. Not at this level. That's for sure. At Barclay Street, yeah, maybe.
You need to sort of go look. So it's disappointing that he's been dropped. If he does get dropped, I mean, it's obviously only a rumour. Nothing's been announced at this stage.
Well, it's disappointing that Mitch Marsh is back, from my perspective. Yeah. But you know,
well, from the way Langer was talking, I think he wants his bowling more than his batting. I don't think he's necessarily thinking he's going to be making a lot, scoring a lot of runs.
Right.
He's a bit worried about the pitch. It does. I think the the last
well, if his if his bowling average was his batting average, he'd be fine.
That's right. But I think it's about protecting the three quicks as much as anything else, because it looks like it's going to be another flat track, so we could, you know, be bowling a lot of overs.
I loved the Dean Jones positive rant, and I'm all up for a Dino. You know, absolutely. I've modelled my own game on Dean Jones as a youngster, inspirational one-day player, inspirationally
best player too.
Positive. Yeah, positive cricketer. So, you know, but a Dean Jones positive rant round selection gets you about as far as it got Dino.
That's right.
So I don't hold high hopes for Hanscom and Melbourne.
It's probably the death knell, isn't it? But look, it'll be interesting to see. And if it is a really flat track, obviously winning the toss is going to be important. And I mean, I think that was important in Perth too. I think Australia batting first really made a big difference in that match. So hopefully Payne can do, as I think Shane Warne said, the only thing that the captain's there for is to really win the toss for us. If he doesn't do that very well, then what's the point of him?
Warney would have Stoinis.
Yeah.
But anyway, probably. So we'll see. Well, that doesn't hold much weight with selectors either, Jonesy and Warney. Anyway.
I wouldn't mind Stoinis too, to be honest. I think I've spoken about that with you. I think at the Adelaide Test match we had a chat about.
Yes. No. Bit of a man crush there. Pat Cummins for me. But Stoinis for you. We can talk more about that on the couch at Boxing Day. So we're going to get a format here and think about how we're going to do it. But we're going to be coming at you on Boxing Day, Dragon Cricket Podcast.
So tune in.
From Melbourne's inner west.
And get involved.
Come and join us at Lazy's House.
If you want my number,
it'd be great to have some visitors drop in for a beer or whatever at different points of the day.
Fantastic. Why don't we try and organise that? Hey, look, that's it for another podcast. Thanks heaps for listening. Please subscribe to us through iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review us too, because it does actually help. There are a number of, you know, crappy cricket podcasts in the world. If we can get some rate and reviews, that would mean that we shuffle up the list a little bit and people might be able to find us. Please email us at dragoncricketpodcast@gmail.com or get in touch through Facebook. And we'll see you on Boxing Day.
You have been listening to the Dragon Cricket Podcast, broadcast from the Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club of Melbourne's inner west. Legal disclaimer: the views and opinions contained herein do not necessarily reflect the official position of the Barclay Street Uniting Cricket Club. Brought to you by cricket journeymen who, in a time of Australian cricket crisis, undertook a quest to rediscover the true spirit of Australian suburban park cricket. Arise, you purple dragons, feel the fire. Enter your lair of gold.
Merry Christmas.